Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
I'm Liam Maitland, KCBS foodie chap, Fiorella on 24th Street, Noe Valley, San Francisco. With me, Brandon Gillis. Brandon, good to see you, my friend. Thanks for taking some time out. The name first, what's behind the name Fiorella?
So the name Fiorella, I wish I had a really great story about it, but I think it was really between like 7 names Boris and I didn't like. And then we actually have a friend, his daughter's name is Fiorella, and Fiorella is little flower in Italian, and we really wanted to have something that was a little bit on the more feminine side. You know, you see Italian restaurants or like Antonio's or, you know, something to that regard, and Fiorella was, it felt fitting for having pizza and pasta, little flower, etc.
Has little Fiorella, who's now probably grown up, has she come to the restaurant? Does she know that the moniker, the name, is somehow in some way inspired by her?
We don't like to give our friend Jim that sort of ammunition, so...
Free meals for life.
We kind of tell him we invented it ourselves, yes.
Let's go back in time before we talk about the latest Fiorella, the fourth, in Noe Valley, your food journey. Where did you grow up and who was cooking in the family? What are your memories of what was coming out of the kitchen when you were a kid?
So I grew up in Waterbury, Connecticut, which is a really blue-collar town. My family, I'm half Lithuanian, half Italian, so I was considered a mutt by all the Italians in the city. But I grew up in an Italian-American family, you know, very Cucina Provera. My grandmother, her family is from Naples and Florence. My grandfather is from Sicily. All the brothers and sisters, I think my grandfather had 7 brothers and sisters. My grandmother had 6 brothers and sisters, and they all lived in Waterbury, Connecticut, or very close. Everyone had vegetable gardens. Some people had rabbits. Some people had chickens. But, you know, it was a very frugal existence, and a lot of her cooking was the inspiration for what I do now.
First restaurant, 2016, San Francisco. You opened here. What brought you to San Francisco in the first place? Was it food? Was it something else?
It was love.
High five. Me too. That's what happens.
Right on. Yeah, so I'm an East Coaster by life. I grew up outside of New Haven, lived in Brooklyn for a long time, and then my partner and I, we started dating. We did the long distance thing for about 4 years, and then I moved out here in, I think, 2015 or 20, no, not 2015, 2014, and met Boris and basically embarked on this adventure with Fiorella.
First restaurant was where in the city?
That was Fiorella Clement, and that was on 25th and Clement Street.
Number two?
Number two, Fiorella Polk. That's on Polk in Green.
Number three?
Number three, that's Fiorella Sunset, and that's on 9th and Irving.
And now you bring us to number four, my neighborhood. You literally are plucked from my house. I can smell the pizzas down the street. You know, my nose led me here this morning. What does it mean to be here in Noe Valley? And so far, have you found the neighborhood?
We are beyond excited to be in Noe Valley. I think for me, like, I like to measure the vibrancy of a city is based on like the number of people who are on the streets, who are out eating. And like, I really find Noe Valley to be one of like the last few neighborhoods in San Francisco right now that really seems to be alive and vibrant. You know, you come out here at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock on a Wednesday, people are eating lunch, they're drinking coffee, there's people on the streets, which is just really great to see. And I'll be honest, personally, I really enjoy going over the hill from the outer Richmond because I leave the fog and I come into the sun, and that feels like I'm actually living in California.
Well, we do say we're on the sunny side of town here. We get a little bit of the sunny overlap from the Mission. So right here on 24th Street, lots of families here in the neighborhood. Who's walking through these doors? Who's coming in so far, Brandon?
You know, I think our position as a restaurant, what we've always wanted to be, was a neighborhood restaurant. And you know, for us, that was kind of taking a different approach. I mean, for Boris and I, we both have backgrounds in Italian hospitality and Italian cooking. So whatever we did was going to be authentically Italian. But I think what we sort of saw was something different when we wanted to be a neighborhood restaurant. Sometimes what you find with neighborhood restaurants, they're kind of like a catch-all. Like, we're going to serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we're going to kind of have a hodgepodge of items, you know, like kind of like Park Chow was.
Sure.
And there's a lot of beauty in that. But I think what's kind of happened over time is that, like, a lot of neighborhoods have lost those neighborhood restaurants due to gentrification, just aging out, just kind of failure to adapt. I mean, there's a whole host of reasons, plus the challenges of just doing business in the city. And for us, when we think about being a neighborhood restaurant, we kind of think of us as more about experiences than really about sort of hitting all the marks. And those experiences kind of like Monday night, it's we've just worked as a family, we're tired, we don't want to cook. Hey, we could come into Fiorella, 5 o'clock, let's have a beer, let's have some pizza and pasta with the kids and get out of here really fast. You know, Wednesday night rolls around, mom has a business dinner, but she wants to stay close to home, so she could come to Fiorella, have a really great meal, something that's appropriate and that feels like it can be a business dinner. And then Friday night rolls around and it's like mom and dad want to go out and have a date night. Hey, we could come to Fiorella. We could do that. We could have a really like romantic dinner. That's going to feel really good. Great food, like really amazing wine and cocktails.
Yeah.
And then Sunday rolls around and it's like, oh, it's grandpa's birthday. So like, let's run out the patio at Fiorella Clement and we could like have his birthday party there. And not to say that's all happening in the same week, but the way we think about it is like all those experiences could happen at our neighborhood restaurant and feel very separate, but all feel very cohesive and connected. And that's what we really think about here.
Well, welcome to the neighborhood. Everyone's excited about you being here. Me too. I came, had a couple of pieces of two different pies. Before we get into this pie you made this morning, the menu at Fiorella, what's it all about?
I think, you know, the menu at Fiorella is what I like to say. It's Italian-inspired. You know, we do a lot of research. We kind of pull from the whole, you know, the whole bounty of Italy. In the winter, we're looking at, you know, Alto Adige. We're looking at Veneto. And then in the summer, we're looking at southern, you know, Italy for inspiration for recipes. But simultaneously, you know, we have a lot of farm partners that we work with, Star Root, Marin Roots, Sunblaze Ranch, who we partner on the New Haven Top Shelf Pie, which we're going to have in a minute. And that's really our inspiration. So it's really like kind of a balancing of classic Italian food, classic Italian technique, approach with like what's the best in season.
You mentioned pie to you. Yep. What makes the perfect pizza pie?
What makes the perfect pizza pie? I think that's such a great question. I mean, for me, like the perfect pizza pie is probably like the tomato pie at Frank Pepe's in New Haven. And I just think about all of those sort of characteristics. But when I was really thinking about the pizza for Fiorella, I was kind of thinking of like kind of four different ideas. One, you know, New Haven pies, the pies in New Haven, they're crispy, they're sauce driven. Like the traditional tomato pie is just sauce, olive oil, and cheese. It's minimalistic, it's simplistic, but it's just amazingly delicious. I was a CDC at Franny's in Brooklyn for 5 years or so. And, you know, the pizza there it was really works of art. It was ingredient driven, you know, we did everything from hand and just beautifully handcrafted pizzas. And then just living in New York, like there's the whole component of, hey, I'm going to grab this slice of pizza. And if the tip of the pizza drips and all my droppings down, I'm never going back to that shop again. So those are kind of the things that I think about, you know, when I'm thinking about a pizza. And I think our pizza kind of hits all of those notes. I think it's crispy. It's eerie. I think our dough has a great flavor. But I also think simultaneously, it's just a canvas for all the great ingredients and products that we use here.
Well, as you cut up a little slice there for us to try and eat together, never break bread alone. Talk us through the New Haven pie. It's a little love letter to where you're from, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, this pie sort of kind of came in collaboration with Nick from Sunblaze Ranch. He's one of our farm partners. He grows amazing peppers, eggplant, tomatoes, melons, and a whole bunch of other things that I'm forgetting, and he's going to probably yell at me about. But really, we started talking last year, and he was saying to me how he has all these excess early girls and heirloom tomatoes. Basically, they're number twos. Things are a little bruised. They're not perfect. You can't really sell them at the farmer's market. And he was like, hey, can you do anything with them? And what came forth was I was thinking like, oh, the New Haven, you know, the New Haven pizza. Really what we did is we created a fresh tomato sauce using all the number two tomatoes. Basically, we take all the early girl tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes, and we just cook those down with a sachet of onion, garlic, and basil. And then we take it out, we mill it. Essentially, like the pizza is really just the tomato sauce. We finish it with a little bit of olive oil, basil, and then grated pecorino and Parmesan.
While you were talking, I took a bite. That is an orgy of good things, but the tomato sings. Really, it pops. Perfect crust. I love it. The New Haven, one more time, the ingredients in the New Haven are?
The ingredients in the New Haven are, it's a early girl, number two tomato sauce, basil, finished with Pecorino Romano, Parmesan Reggiano, and Frantoia olive oil.
Dish number two, what do we have?
Dish number two here, we have what is our Crespelle de cannelloni. Essentially what it is, it's a cannelloni, but it's a cannelloni that's not made with pasta. It's actually a cannelloni that's made with crepes. Sort of harking back to what I was saying about my grandmother, her family being from Florence and Naples, and where her family's from in Florence, what they typically did, they made a lot of stuffed pasta with crepes. Mm-hmm. So like my grandmother sometimes she'd make lasagna with crepes. She would like make manicotti with crepes. She'd make cannelloni with crepes, or she would make crespelle, which is more of a triangle shaped pasta. And one of the things that we as a team, like the culinary team, we're tasting different baked pastas. They tend to be like really heavy. And I think using the crepe like creates a really light version of a baked pasta. Like you could kind of crush this dish and it's not going to feel like a total gut bomb unless like, you know, in the situation where you had lasagna that's got like 10 different layers with bechamel and bolognese and so forth. But I think this is just a really great, simple interpretation of a cannelloni. We stuff it with a ricotta filling that has a Swiss chard and spinach in it, bechamel sauce, and a roasted tomato sauce. And then we finish it with a little fresh basil and grated Parmesan.
So good. I love the freshness. I love the lightness. And I love the fact that you're speaking to the fact that Italian food doesn't have to be heavy. You don't have to feel fully loaded. You want to feel satisfied, but not necessarily fully loaded and stuffed, right?
Exactly. I think, Italian-American food in this country is big, bountiful portions. And I love that. And I think there's a time and place for that. And I think what we, what we try to do here is something a little bit more contextual that, that feels Italian and feels appropriate for here as well.
Brandon, finally, let's talk cocktails. Got a couple of cocktails on the menu today. What's in our glass? What are we drinking? Number one, by the way, friends, come here. Of course you're coming for the food. You're coming for a beer. You're coming for the cocktails as well. So this joyous one right here.
So today we're going to be drinking the Rose Autumn. And basically, this is an ancient Roman spritz. So Dan Burns, who is our bar director at Fiorella, when we talked about opening here in Noe Valley, one of the things we were talking about was the weather and it's warmer. But when we were trying to figure out if we were going to have a full bar program here or not, we sort of opted away just because of the size of the space and sort of the intricacies involved having a full bar. And then we decided to have a full, like, go with a spritz program. Mm-hmm. And Dan did a ton of research into, like, basically ancient classic Roman spritz cocktails, and the Rose Autumn is a play on one of those spritzes. So we make it with a strawberry aperitivo, a rose infused vermouth. So we take a vermouth and we infuse it with rose petals, prosecco, and a little bit of soda water.
Cocktail number two, the Purple Rain.
The Purple Rain. This is, I will say, this is by far my favorite cocktail.
Is this a nod to Prince?
This is a nod to, I believe, the 40th anniversary of Purple Rain?
I think it is. Yeah, yeah.
40th,
yeah.
Which makes me feel incredibly old.
Well, you're making me feel older. Yes. Thank you, Brandon.
I barely remember
it.
I know, exactly. Like, both of us can feel really old together at this moment.
So yeah, the Purple Rain, what's in it?
Yep, so the Purple Rain is, we have a blueberry amaro, and we have a fresh lemon juice, prosecco, and seltzer, and also a blackberry liqueur in there as well.
Sign me up for both. Props to Dan, good job, Dan, thanks for the cocktails. Let you have the last word, Brandon. By the way, your food is sensational, love the vibe. I love the fact that here on 24th Street, a block from my house, I can come for the perfect pie and lots of other really, farm-to-table kind of experiences and those wonderful cocktails. Last word with you. Why should people come to Fiorella on 24th Street, Noe Valley?
I think we are a classic neighborhood restaurant, and that's what we really strive to be, is a place for families, a place for date night, a place for friends. I think we're product-driven, quality-driven, and I think it's just a really great place to, come and enjoy a great meal, whether that's on a Monday night or a Friday night.
Thank you, my friend. Do yourself a favor. Come one, come all. Come for date night. Bring the family. Come with a few friends. Come and, hang solo if you wish. Fiorella, 24th Street, Noe Valley, San Francisco. More on the Fiorella story at kcbsradio.com and click on Foodie Chap. Yeah, another cocktail, please. Cheers.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Liam Maitland, KCBS, foodie chap, Fiorella on 24th Street, Noe Valley, San Francisco. With me, Brandon Gillis. Brandon, good to see you, my friend. Thanks for taking some time out. The name first, what's behind the name Fiorella?
So the name Fiorella, I wish I had a really great story about it, but I think it was really between like seven names Boris and I didn't like. And then we actually have a friend, his daughter's name is Fiorella, and Fiorella is little flower in Italian, and we really wanted to have something that was a little bit on the more feminine side. You know, you see Italian restaurants or like Antonio's or, you know, something to that regard, and Fiorella was, it felt fitting for having pizza and pasta, little flower, etc.
Has little Fiorella, who's now probably grown up, has she come to the restaurant? Does she know that the moniker, the name, is somehow in some way inspired by her?
We don't like to give our friend Jim that sort of ammunition, so...
Free meals for life.
We kind of tell him we invented it ourselves, yes.
Let's go back in time before we talk about the latest Fiorella, the fourth, in Noe Valley, your food journey. Where did you grow up and who was cooking in the family? What are your memories of what was coming out of the kitchen when you were a kid?
So I grew up in Waterbury, Connecticut, which is a really blue collar town. My family, I'm half Lithuanian, half Italian, so I was considered a mutt by all the Italians in the city. But I grew up in an Italian American family. You know, very Cucina Provera. My grandmother, her family is from Naples and Florence. My grandfather is from Sicily, and you know, all the brothers and sisters. I think my grandfather had seven brothers and sisters. My grandmother had six brothers and sisters, and they all lived in Waterbury, Connecticut, or very close. Everyone had vegetable gardens. Some people had rabbits. Some people had chickens. But, you know, it was a very frugal existence, and a lot of her cooking was the inspiration for what I do now.
First restaurant, 2016, San Francisco. You opened here. What brought you to San Francisco in the first place? Was it food? Was it something else?
It was love.
High five. Me too. That's what happens.
Right. So I'm an East Coaster by life. I grew up outside of New Haven, lived in Brooklyn for a long time, and then my partner and I, we started dating. We did the long distance thing for about 4 years, and then I moved out here in, I think, 2014, and met Boris, and basically embarked on this adventure with Fiorella.
First restaurant was where in the city?
That was Fiorella Clement, and that was on 25th and Clement Street.
Number two,
Fiorella Polk. That's on Polk and Green.
Number three,
that's Fiorella Sunset, and that's on 9th and Irving.
And now you bring us to number four, my neighborhood. You literally are blocked from my house. I can smell the pizzas down the street. You know, my nose led me here this morning. What does it mean to be here in Noe Valley? And so far, have you found the neighborhood?
We are beyond excited to be in Noe Valley. I think For me, like, I like to measure the vibrancy of a city is based on like the number of people who are on the streets, who are out eating. And like, I really find Noe Valley to be one of like the last few neighborhoods in San Francisco right now that really seems to be alive and vibrant. You know, you come out here at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock on a Wednesday, people are eating lunch, they're drinking coffee, there's people on the streets, which is just really great to see. And I'll be honest, personally, I really enjoy going over the hill from the outer Richmond because I leave the fog and I come into the sun, and that feels like I'm actually living in California.
Well, we do say we're on the sunny side of town here. We get a little bit of the sunny overlap from the Mission. So right here on 24th Street, lots of families here in the neighborhood. Who's walking through these doors? Who's coming in so far, Brandon?
You know, I think our position as a restaurant, what we've always wanted to be, was a neighborhood restaurant. And you know, for us, that was kind of taking a different approach. I mean, for Boris and I, we both have backgrounds in Italian hospitality and Italian cooking. So whatever we did was going to be authentically Italian. But I think what we sort of saw was something different when we wanted to be a neighborhood restaurant. Sometimes what you find with neighborhood restaurants, they're kind of like a catch-all. Like, we're going to serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we're going to kind of have a hodgepodge of items, you know, like kind of like Park Chow was.
Sure.
And there's a lot of beauty in that. But I think what's kind of happened over time is that, like, a lot of neighborhoods have lost those neighborhood restaurants due to gentrification, just aging out, just kind of failure to adapt. I mean, there's a whole host of reasons, plus the challenges of just doing business in the city. And for us, when we think about being a neighborhood restaurant, we kind of think of us as more about experiences than really about sort of hitting all the marks. And those experiences kind of like Monday night, it's we've just worked as a family, we're tired, we don't want to cook. Hey, we could come into Fiorella, 5 o'clock, let's have a beer, let's have some pizza and pasta with the kids and get out of here really fast. You know, Wednesday night rolls around, mom has a business dinner, but she wants to stay close to home, so she could come to Fiorella, have a really great meal, something that's appropriate and that feels like it can be a business dinner. And then Friday night rolls around and it's like mom and dad want to go out and have a date night. Hey, we could come to Fiorella. We could do that. We could have a really like romantic dinner. That's going to feel really good. Great food, like really amazing wine and cocktails.
Yeah.
And then Sunday rolls around and it's like, oh, it's grandpa's birthday. So like, let's run out the patio at Fiorella Clement and we could like have his birthday party there. And not to say that's all happening in the same week, but the way we think about it is like all those experiences could happen at our neighborhood restaurant and feel very separate, but all feel very cohesive and connected. And that's what we really think about here.
Well, welcome to the neighborhood. Everyone's excited about you being here. Me too. I came, had a couple of pieces of two different pies. Before we get into this pie you made this morning, the menu at Fiorella, what's it all about?
I think, you know, the menu at Fiorella is what I like to say. It's Italian-inspired. You know, we do a lot of research. We kind of pull from the whole, you know, the whole bounty of Italy. In the winter, we're looking at, you know, Alto Adige. We're looking at Veneto. And then in the summer, we're looking at southern, you know, Italy for inspiration for recipes. But simultaneously, you know, we have a lot of farm partners that we work with, with Star Root, Marin Roots, Sunblaze Ranch, who we partner on the New Haven Top Shelf Pie, which we're going to have in a minute. And that's really our inspiration. So it's really like kind of a balancing of classic Italian food, classic Italian technique, approach with like what's the best in season.
You mentioned pie to you.
Yep.
What makes the perfect pizza pie?
What makes the perfect pizza pie? I think that's such a great question. I mean, for me, like the perfect pizza pie is probably like the tomato pie at Frank Pepe's in New Haven. And I just think about all of those sort of characteristics. But when I was really thinking about the pizza for Fiorella, I was kind of thinking of like kind of four different ideas. One, you know, New Haven pies, the pies in New Haven, they're crispy, they're sauce driven. Like the traditional tomato pie is just sauce, olive oil, and cheese. It's minimalistic, it's simplistic, but it's just amazingly delicious. I was a CDC at Franny's in Brooklyn 5 years or so. And, you know, the pizza there were, it was really works of art. It was ingredient driven, very, you know, we did everything from hand and just beautifully handcrafted pizzas. And then just living in New York, like there's the whole component of, hey, I'm going to grab this slice of pizza. And if the tip of the pizza drips and all my droppings down, I'm never going back to that shop again. So those are kind of the things that I think about, you know, when I'm thinking about a pizza. And I think our pizza kind of hits all of those notes. I think it's crispy, it's airy. I think our dough has a great flavor, but I also think simultaneously it's just a canvas for all the great ingredients and products that we use here.
Well, as you cut up a little slice there for us to try and eat together, never break bread alone. Talk us through the New Haven pie. It's a little love letter to where you're from, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, this pie sort of kind of came in collaboration with Nick from Sunblaze Ranch. He's one of our farm partners. He grows amazing peppers, eggplant, tomatoes, melons, and a whole bunch of other things that I'm forgetting, and he's going to probably yell at me about. But really, we started talking last year, and he was saying to me how he has all these excess early girls and heirloom tomatoes. Basically, they're number twos. Things are a little bruised. They're not perfect. You can't really sell them at the farmer's market. And he was like, hey, can you do anything with them? And what came forth was I was thinking like, oh, the New Haven, you know, the New Haven pizza. Really what we did is we created a fresh tomato sauce using all the number two tomatoes. Basically, we take all the early girl tomatoes, heirloom tomatoes, and we just cook those down with a sachet of onion, garlic, and basil. And then we take it out, we mill it. And essentially, like, the pizza is really just the tomato sauce. We finish it with a little bit of olive oil, basil, and then grated pecorino and Parmesan.
While you were talking, I took a bite. That is an orgy of good things. But the tomato sings. Really, it pops. Perfect crust. I love it. The New Haven, one more time, the ingredients in the New Haven are?
The ingredients in the New Haven are, it's a... early girl, number two tomato sauce, basil, finished with pecorino romano, Parmesan Reggiano, and Frantoia olive oil.
Dish number two, what do we have?
Dish number two here, we have what is our crespelle de cannelloni. Essentially what it is, it's a cannelloni, but it's a cannelloni that's not made with pasta. It's actually a cannelloni that's made with crepes. Sort of harking back to what I was saying about my grandmother, her family being from Florence and Naples, and where her family's from in Florence, what they typically did, they made a lot of stuffed pasta with crepes. Mm-hmm. So like my grandmother sometimes would make she'd make lasagna with crepes. She would make manicotti with crepes. She'd make cannelloni with crepes, or she would make crespelle, which is more of a triangle shaped pasta. And one of the things that we as a team, like the culinary team, we're tasting different baked pastas. They tend to be like really heavy. And I think using the crepe like creates a really light version of a baked pasta. Like you could kind of crush this dish and it's not going to feel like a total gut bomb unless like, you know, in the situation where you had lasagna that's got like 10 different layers with bechamel and bolognese and so forth. But I think this is just a really great, simple interpretation of a cannelloni. We stuff it with a ricotta filling that has a Swiss chard and spinach in it, bechamel sauce, and a roasted tomato sauce. And then we finish it with a little fresh basil and grated Parmesan.
So good. I love the freshness. I love the lightness. And I love the fact that you're speaking to the fact that Italian food doesn't have to be heavy. You don't have to feel fully loaded. You want to feel satisfied, but not necessarily fully loaded and stuffed, right?
Exactly. I think, you know, Italian-American food in this country is big, you know, bountiful portions. And I love that. And I think there's a time and place for that. And I think what we try to do here is something a little bit more contextual that, you know, that feels Italian and feels appropriate for here as well.
Brandon, finally, let's talk cocktails. Got a couple of cocktails on the menu today. What's in our glass? What are we drinking? Number one, by the way, friends, come here. Of course you're coming for the food. You're coming for a beer. You're coming for the cocktails as well. So this joyous one right here.
So today we're going to be drinking the Rose Autumn. And basically, this is an ancient Roman spritz. So Dan Burns, who is our bar director at Fiorella, you know, when we talked about opening here in Noe Valley, you know, one of the things we were talking about was the weather and it's warmer. But, you know, when we were trying to figure out if we were going to have a full bar program here or not, we sort of opted away just because of the size of the space and sort of the intricacies involved having a full bar. And then we decided to have a full, like, go with a spritz program. Mm-hmm. And Dan did a ton of research into, like, basically ancient, classic Roman spritz cocktails. And the Rose Autumn is a play on one of those on one of those spritzes. So we make it with a strawberry aperitivo, a rose-infused vermouth. So we take a vermouth and we infuse it with rose petals, Prosecco, and a little bit of soda water.
Cocktail number two, the Purple Rain.
The Purple Rain. This is, I will say, this is by far my favorite cocktail.
Is this a nod to Prince?
This is a nod to, I believe, the 40th. Is it the 40th anniversary of Purple Rain?
Yeah, maybe. I think it is.
Think it's the 40th,
yeah.
Which makes me feel incredibly old.
Well, you're making me feel older. Yes. Thank you, Brandon.
I think
I barely remember it.
I know exactly. Like both of us can feel really old together at this moment.
So yeah, the Purple Rain, what's in it?
Yep, so the Purple Rain is, we have a blueberry Amaro, and we have fresh lemon juice, Prosecco, and seltzer, and also a blackberry liqueur in there as well.
Sign me up. Sign me up for both. Props to Dan. Good job, Dan. Thanks for the cocktails. Let you have the last word, Brandon. By the way, your food is sensational. Love the vibe. I love the fact that here on 24th Street, a block from my house, I can come for the perfect pie and lots of other really, I mean, farm-to-table kind of experiences and those wonderful cocktails. Last word with you. Why should people come to Fiorella on 24th Street, Noe Valley?
I think we are a classic neighborhood restaurant, and you know, and that's what we really strive to be, is a place for families, a place for date night, a place for friends. I think we're product-driven, quality-driven, and I think it's just a really great place to, you know, come and enjoy a great meal, whether that's on a Monday night or a Friday night.
Thank you, my friend. Do yourself a favor. Come one, come all. Come for date night. Bring the family. Come with a few friends. Come and, you know, hang solo if you wish. Fiorella, 24th Street, Noe Valley, San Francisco. More on the Fiorella story at kcbsradio.com and click on Foodie Chap. Yeah, another cocktail, please. Cheers.